You got a goal. You got a desire. Stop thinking about it. Stop wondering about it and start somewhere and do. Just put the work in.
This is the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. A podcast dedicated to raw action analysis.
Ooh, my gosh. For fans of action cinema out there, how badass would that be?
Each week, we bring you a new action filmmaker to break down your favorite scenes.
360 off person, round kick the guy from a 360 spin.
Now, introducing your hosts, Darren Tun and Mike Messina.
Hello, and welcome to the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Tun, and with me is my co-host, Mike Messina. Today we have part two of Tim McAdams. If you haven't checked out part one already, you definitely should. He talks about his start in stunts, his motivational speaking career, and so much more. In this episode, we talk about Oz, The Wire, Tim's first time on a set, which is Salt, the movie, Fast 7, and there's a little funny story in there about the Atlanta TV show that you guys have to stick around to listen to. Other than that, you can catch Tim in the new Suicide Squad movie. I believe he plays a soldier that gets taken down by an alien. I'm not exactly too sure what the plot is there yet because I haven't seen the movie, but you can definitely check out a clip on Tim's Instagram. I think it's Tim R. McAdams on Instagram. My next announcement is stay tuned for next week. We have another news episode with AFD. Same as last week, but this time we're breaking down new news. And my last announcement is our Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you can check out exclusive video breakdowns that Mike and I will be doing. So check that out. And yeah, without further ado, here is the episode.
I definitely want to ask a little bit more about certain projects.
There's a whole bunch. There are a couple for me as well. When it goes to, I guess, earlier works, I know you have Salt on there. And there was a clip on your YouTube channel. I was kind of curious as to what specific stunts you did on that movie.
I fell on that movie almost, and I almost made a fool of myself. I'll tell you, that's what I did. Like my first memory of Salt, I was like playing a detective, right? And I'm jumping out of the car. And this is early in my career, so I'm not used to being around. These are like the top stunt guys, man. Like these are the top stunt guys in New York. I mean, these are the freaking big guys, the best of the best. And you got LA guys out here and these New York guys. And then you got me. Here I am, right? And so they're like, you know, just jump out the car and just run here and stop. And I go running and trip over my own feet and I'm stumbling to a stop. And so one of the stunt guys, who was also a stunt coordinator, as I was walking back, he walks past me. He's like, I saw that. I'll just put my head down. So yeah, so that was one of those humbling experiences where I realized that I had so much more to learn than just showing up as this stunt actor and getting beat up like I did on The Wire. You know, there was so much more to it than that. Like I was involved with guys now. I'm on an Angelina Jolie set, Brad Pitt showing up in the middle of the day, hanging out on the set. And I'm like, oh, this is real, you know? That action sequence you're talking about, the stunt drivers were coming out from all over the place. I had never seen stunt driving live like that in my life. They're sliding cars down an aisle. There were extras cars on both sides of the street. Jay Lynch, who is arguably the best African-American stunt driver in the world, he comes up out of this ramp and he comes around a corner and he takes the car, the police car, into a drift and he drifts down the street with cars parked on both sides. The front bumper's barely missing the car. The back bumper's barely missing the car. And he's doing it over and over and over again. And I'm just like, I don't belong here like this. Like, what am I doing here with these guys? This is freaking crazy. And then they're like, yeah, and Angelina Jolie's double later on is going to jump off this balcony, jump off the overpass onto the top of an 18-wheeler. I'm like, huh? She's going to do what? I'm talking to this girl. She's going to do that? It was a humbling experience for sure, but it motivated me. It motivated me to realize that I had to go to work, man, because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I was just honored to be in the presence of these incredible stunt performers and to be on a film with Angelina Jolie. It was incredible. And it defined my career in the respect that it made me realize that I needed to go to work, because it wasn't just going to be about my ability to perform on camera. I needed to really sharpen my stunt skills if I was going to stay relevant. Right. I had to. So really thankful for that show. It was a fun experience. So funny you would ask that, because there's no other one you could have asked about. No other early work you could have asked about that I had a fun story to tell. You picked the right one.
Really?
All you listeners out there know, we didn't plan that. We did not plan that. He just picked the right one. That was the one, man.
So I had a hunch. You know, you win some, you lose some.
That intuition.
Darren, I'm impressed. That intuition is amazing.
I did also ask about meals, so.
Dude, you're just like hitting all my high points. What are you, some type of sage or something?
There's also wanted to ask about Fast and Furious 7, your experience with that.
Yeah, that was super cool. You know, Ludacris has a main stunt double. And you talk about relationships in the community. And I can't tell these stories without shouting certain people out. Andy Martin, who has done such a phenomenal job in helping me in my career here in Georgia. He called me up on the phone and he's like, hey, man, you know, I want to talk to you about, you know, maybe working on Fast 7. And I was like, really? I was like, okay, cool. He's like, so there's this scene where Ludacris is going to be doing a bailout. He's going to jump out of this car. And, you know, I got a call and they asked me if there was anybody that I knew that fit his body type that I thought would be comfortable doing the job. And he's like, and I know you've never done a bailout before, but I feel like you're ready. I feel like you're capable. And if it's something that you think you want to do, I'm going to put your name into the gills, which Sam Hargraves, the gills, you know, I'm going to put your name in and see what happens. And I'm like, throw that name in there, buddy. I'll be practicing jumping out of cars. Here we go. And so they agreed to it. And I ended up being pretty much a spot on double from the back when I was on set. Ludacris's hair people would come over and start messing with my hair. And I'd turn around and they'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. You're not. Oh, I'm sorry. And then they would go over and, you know.
The resemblance is uncanny.
Yeah. Oh, it was crazy, man. It was crazy. Like, they could not tell us apart from the side, from the back.
Oh,
it
my
was
gosh. Just,
yeah. It was.
That's when you know you picked a good double.
That's what they nailed it, right? They nailed it. So to have a chance to work on the show, to do that scene, which was a big scene for us, and work with Angela Murrow, work with Jay Lynch, who are two legends in the film business, in our stunt community. And for us to do that bailout scene and have a chance to jump out of that car over and over again and do it to a level of excellence and everybody go home safe. It was just such a rush, man. Like, that car was flying. I mean, it was on a track and it was flying. And they're like, 3, 2, 1, go.
No way.
And we got to jump at the right time because there's cameras that are waiting for us.
How fast do you think the car was going?
I'm going to tell you guys something. All right. I don't know who's going to see this, but I'm just going to tell you that it was supposed to be in the mid-20s.
Oh.
but I think they clocked it a couple times, maybe a couple miles an hour faster. I definitely.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. But it was cool. But it was awesome. And then I got a chance to work in several other scenes after that, because the thing I love about the stunt world and the stunt community is that when you do a good job and the coordinators have trust in you, if they can bring you back, they're going to bring you back. They're going to give you a chance to work again. And I was very fortunate to have a chance to go back and have a chance to work again. And it was a good time.
Awesome. I don't think we could finish up the works, though, without talking about the Atlanta Dodge TV commercial, because that's one that I was really excited to touch upon.
Man, you want to talk about crazy. You know, there's certain things you want to be known for in this business. Like, there's certain things. It's like, you know, I want to be known to be an extraordinary performer. I want to be known for that incredible gag I did. Like, I want you to remember me, you know, this Atlanta show. Unbelievable. I'm working on a show next month, too, just for the record. I'm going back. And I told them, though, I'm keeping my clothes on this time.
Yeah.
The clothes are staying.
You weren't actually naked, were you? Or were you today?
Well, I mean, what do you consider naked, Darren? You know, I mean, what's naked? If your butt's out, I mean, if your whole butt is out,
pretty
but
naked,
there's
yeah.
something in between your butt cheeks, like, are you technically naked? Mm-hmm. It was a setup, Mike and Darren. It was a setup, man. I'm going to tell you. I absolutely, I got a call and because I got casted to do that. Like, the director picked me.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. And you guys know who's the director of Atlanta. Just, you,
yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so, is it a hero? Hero, right?
Huh? No, I'm not talking about not the coordinator. I'm talking about the writer and the director of Atlanta. You know, you guys know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So Donald looks at it and he's got three stunt actor resumes. And he's like, I want, you know, one of these two guys because I like their look. Like their look's going to be good for the shot. I like their look. He's like, so, you know, let me know which one you want to use. And so he gave it back to the coordinator to make the decision. And so the coordinator calls me up and he's telling me about the scene. He's like, you know, it's going to be a driving sequence. It's going to be live traffic. Cameras are going to be hooked to the car and rigged on the car. So we need somebody who can be heads up with that. And then you're going to come through the community. Then you're going to come hot into the gas station. And it's going to be a fun day. And he left it like that. He's like, it's going to be a fun day. And I'm like, hey, yeah, that sounds great, man. This is good. Yeah. He's like, and in a couple other days, I'm going to have you drive some indie cars. You know, we're going to be up in the mountains. We're going to do like some drone shots. It'll be cool. You'll just jump in and out of different cars for me. We're going to do some commercial type shooting for the Charger. It's going to be great. I'm like, okay, cool. He's like, but he says to me, but you got to jump out the car. And you're going to jump out the car. And when you jump out the car, you're going to, you know, not have any pants on. And I was like, all right. Okay. So, but what do you mean? Like no pants? No. I had no explanation, no backstory, no nothing. Just no pants. That's all I had was no pants. Yeah. I was like, what do you mean? No pants? He's like, yeah. Like, you did, yeah, I was like well, we're going to give you like a, you know, like a, you know, like a little sock, you know, you put a little sock on and you just jump out the car. He's like, all right. Just think about it tonight and let me know how you feel about it tomorrow. So I thought about it and I was like, you know, like they're just butt cheeks, you know? I mean,
yeah,
just, everyone has them. It's true.
Everybody has butt cheeks and I've been told that mine are pretty nice. So I was like, so why not? Yeah. You know,
some deadlifts.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing my work. You know what I mean? I've been doing my little stuff in the gym. So why not? Why not do it? And so I called him up. I was like, yeah, man, I'm down. I'll do it. You know, let's get it done. And so they casted me to do it. And then after that, they sent me the script. So when they sent me the script, I understood that it was a joke about the fact that the guy was willing to give up everything, including his pants, so he could keep his Charger. So I saw the fun in it. I was like, oh, okay, so this is going to be actually cool. But this is when it got not cool. And I don't know if you guys know the Atlanta area very much, but even if you don't, I'll tell you this. We shot this at the Shell gas station on 14th Street in Midtown in rush hour traffic.
Oh.
So, you know, whenever you have like partial nudity or, you know, the racy type of scenes, there's always privacy, you know, so the set is limited. Mm-hmm. But you can't stop the 5,000 people who are trying to go home from work from driving by and sitting in standstill traffic and just, you know.
It's a hard street to probably block off.
You can't block them off. Impossible. So
in
the scene, I'm flying into the gas station and then shooting out after I get gas. So I'm drawing attention to myself because all the people who are sitting on this street are thinking I'm going to hit them because I'm coming out like I'm getting ready to come out into traffic and they're sitting still. So they're honking
their
horns.
Charger.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the Charger. I mean, they're just freaking pissed the whole time. But so as we reset, of course, they're sitting still. So they're watching it. So who knows how many hundreds of people saw my butt that day, but it was all good. We did it very tastefully. We had a lot of fun on the set. We laughed about it. And to this day, you know, I mean, everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to be known when they go down the street. I didn't know if that was what I was looking for, but I don't think a week goes by that somebody doesn't say, hey, aren't you that guy from Atlanta? It's unbelievable.
Especially since you're based, you know,
yeah.
In the area. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, and of course, all the crew that was there, you know, when I see them on the next show, they still laugh about it. Remember that day you had that sock on the show? Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely a part of my performing history. Yeah, for sure.
We also wanted to jump in a little bit about your work with Marvel and Black Panther in both Avengers movies or Infinity War and Endgame. So you yourself playing a warrior in some of those sequences. Can you talk a little bit about just what it was like to shoot those, especially since they're such large scale battles and also basically mostly, if not all, on green screen or blue screen, something to that effect?
Well, first off, rest in peace, Chadwick. Mm-hmm. Such an incredible, incredible, incredible guy, and such an honor to be able to share a camera with him, observe the elite level of professionalism, a person who dedicated himself to the mastery of the art and was willing to share his knowledge and share his insight and serve as a mentor and motivator for every single person who was on that set. To think that he was battling cancer while shooting those productions blows my mind, because there was never a day that he did not come and give 199% and perform. Yo, Mike, you'll appreciate this. You know, Chadwick's a he's a martial artist. So being that he's a martial artist, it's not that he wasn't capable of doing a lot of his stunt sequences and a lot of the things that happened in those action sequences. So to see him physically involved in some of that stuff, though his stunt doubles, of course, do a lot of the things. Wow. Which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Just amazing to think that he was battling that. But yet we wake up in the morning and complain about minor physical issues and minor mental issues. Can you imagine the physical and mental strain of knowing that you've got to go to chemotherapy before you come shoot one of the largest films, arguably in the history of film and production? Mm-hmm. That's the type of mental strength that made Chadwick who he was. So I couldn't talk about any of those shows without paying tribute to how amazing he was.
Yeah.
Super fun, man. Just super fun, super thankful. It was just an amazing, amazing experience. We had no idea how they were going to turn what we were doing into what it looked like when you watched the movie. Because like you said, it's like big, huge blue screens everywhere. We're out here in this big open field, which is down the street from my house, by the way. I live down the street from Wakanda, just FYI. Oh my God. Yeah. I woke up every morning and like drove 6 minutes to work every day that I was in Wakanda. It was it was a dream. It was a dream. But we had a chance to work with some of the most talented stunt players in the country. People came out from California. People came from New York. Obviously, the who's who here in Atlanta were all on the set. And those fight sequences were tons of fun. They were brutal days. And we worked hard. When it was hot, it was hot. When it was cold, it was cold. And we worked hard. We pushed hard. You know, a lot of people walked away with bumps and bruises from the show. But I don't think that any of us would trade the experience. It was all out insanity. Drones going, cameras shooting everywhere, wires, people getting pulled, people on what you call dead mans, which means you run to the end of the line. And when you get to the end of the line, your body just goes where it goes. I mean, if we're just shooting this all day long and then utilizing, because in previs, we shot so many different fight sequences that when we would get out there, we would just run through the Rolodex of fight sequences. So that way we could just continue to keep the action going. And then if they didn't call cut, we, you know, call another one out and start going through that sequence. And if they were still going, we call another one out. And we knew the beats because we had done them so much in previs and in rehearsals that we were just ready for them. And we just shot them over and over and over again. I don't think there's one person you could talk to that was connected to either the Avengers film or Black Panther that wouldn't say that it was one of the greatest experiences, man. So much fun. But shout out to all the post-production people for turning that into what they turned it into. Guys, it was just trees and grass. Trees and grass. That's it. Big open field. Like, go to the most country place you can go to, stand out there. That's Wakanda.
Awesome.
And then they turned it. They turned it into that.
It's all the visual effects. It's crazy.
Oh, it's unbelievable, man. And even how they multiplied us, you know, there weren't as many of us as it showed. But they were able to, they were able to visually multiply us to make our army look like it was three times larger than what it was.
Wow, that's crazy. Awesome. Love it. How many of those guys were there that were multiplied into more and more?
Couldn't give you an exact number. But I mean, there were days where maybe there were 40 or 50 of us. I mean, what did it look like? 300, you know what I mean?
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know we should be just about wrapping up here. I actually wanted to go through a quick segment we do. It's sort of like a lightning round question called 5 Second Fight Club, where we're going to offer you some hypothetical fights, and then you have 5 seconds roughly to tell us who would win and why.
Oh, man, I don't do good at this stuff, but we're going to have fun either way. Let's go.
Okay, so the first one I have for you, a zombie from Zombieland, since you were part of Zombieland 2, versus a walker from The Walking Dead, which you were also a part of.
I'm going Zombieland, baby. Those Zombieland zombies were built different, especially in number 2. They didn't die easy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's true, that's true.
Double tap.
Gotta know those rules. Darren, you want to do the next one?
Yeah. I'll do a Border Tribe Warrior versus a female Dora Milaje.
Dora all day long, man.
Oh, okay.
in real life and in the movie, those girls, man, are bad. They are bad, bad, bad. Amazing.
Superhero battle here. Black Lightning versus Black Panther.
Man, Black Lightning is going to get his butt whipped. That's what's going to happen. All due respect to Kress. All due respect to Black Lightning, but not a chance, man. He's going to get the floor wiped up with him.
The last one is a race battle. It's Ludacris from Fast and Furious versus the pantsless Dodge driver from Atlanta.
All day long, baby. I'm smoking Ludacris. You can call it out, and I'll do the race with no pants. I'm smoking Ludacris. No chance.
Awesome.
There you go.
No chance. That's fun. That's fun, man. That is fun.
Awesome. So, Tim, thank you so much for being here. Actual last question this time. Do you have any parting message that you want the audience to know, or do you have anywhere the audience can go to see more of your work or what you're up to?
Well, first, man, I want to thank both of you guys, not just for the opportunity to be on and spend the time with you, but for creating such a phenomenal experience, man. Like, this has been fun. When you said it's been 90 minutes, I'm like, really? Has it been 90 minutes? You guys, the research that you did, the time and preparation that you put into this, the environment that you created for this conversation today has been fantastic. So just kudos to you guys and thank you.
Thank you
for creating such a fantastic experience. It's easy to keep up with me. Everything's Tim R. McAdams. I put the R in the middle because there is another performer in the country with the name Tim McAdams. So you put the R in the middle and my Instagram, Facebook, website, LinkedIn, any of the profiles that you would be looking for me on, you can find at Tim R. McAdams. I could say 1,000 things to end this segment, but I think what's appropriate is you guys are an example of it. And I have to speak to you guys. And you gave me credit earlier for being able to live in my dream. And I commend you guys for the pursuit of your vision and your dream. And anybody who's listening to this, I want you to understand that the difference between people who are living in their dream and the people who are thinking about their dream is the people who are living in it actually decided to act on it. That's it. And it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you start. It doesn't matter whether you look small or primitive or whether it doesn't look as organized and structured as it needs to be. You have to get started. A commonality amongst every single person who is enjoying success in any aspect of their life is that they got started and then they stuck to it. Unfortunately, most people don't even have to ever worry about the stick to it part because they never get started.
Execution.
So it's execution. It is. So if you got a vision, you got a goal, you got a desire, you got something that's been burning in you that you want, something you want to accomplish, something you want to achieve, somewhere you want to go in life, stop thinking about it. Stop wondering about it. Stop hoping that it will come together and start somewhere and do. Just put the work in. And then as you're putting the work in, refine it, make it better. Restructure it, reorganize it, scrap the plan and create a new one if you have to, but don't stop moving. The answer to success involves action, and there is no success without action. So take action, as you guys say, the action filmmaking, right? Take action, and you'll be happy that you did it because your dreams are waiting for you and they're not going to come to you. But they're there for you to obtain if you're willing to take action and go after it. So that would be my parting words to
thank you so much.
All listeners. Yeah, absolutely.
That was great.
Absolutely.
If you enjoyed this episode, you can subscribe and leave a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the podcast app of your choice. You can find us at actiondecoded.com or on Instagram at Action Filmmaking Podcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.